Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Suprea Lifesciences Limited Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Irfan Raeen from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashri. And good morning, everyone. On behalf of Suprea Lifesciences Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to all participants on Q2 and H1 FY24 financial discussion call. Today on the call, we have Dr. Satish Wadhwa, Sir, Chairman and Managing Director, Dr. Saloni Wadhwa, Full-Time Director, and Mr. Krishna Raghunathan, Chief Financial Officer. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through our investor deck and press release that we have uploaded on exchanges and on the company's website. Before we begin with the call, I would like to give a short disclaimer. This call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon our beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of future performance and involve unforeseen risk and uncertainty. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Satish Sir for his opening remark. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Good morning and warm welcome to all the participants. Thank you for joining us today to discuss the Q2 financial year 2024 results of Suprea Lifesciences Limited. Let me take this opportunity to wish everyone in advance a very happy and safe Diwali. To take us through the results and answer your questions along with me, I have Dr. Saloni Wadhwa, Director, Mr. Krishna Raghunathan, Chief Financial Officer, and our Investor Relations Department, Orient Capital. I hope everyone got the opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchanges as well as the company website. At Suprea, we believe that accessible, affordable, and effective healthcare is a fundamental human right, and to this effect, especially in a country like ours, I am pleased to announce the company has signed two agreements with Kalinga Institute of Technology for development of one-of-its-kind novel oral cancer detection kit named QuickBlue and wound healing gel named GelHeal. The development of an oral cancer detection kit is in line with Suprea Lifesciences' vision of manufacturing niche products and becoming an innovation-led global CDMO player. This product is not only a cheaper option, but it is also found to be a very sensitive detector. The global cancer market is estimated at $21.5 billion, and the company is expecting to create a 1%-2% market share. The company has also filed for the patents of the QuickBlue oral kit. We also have signed another agreement with Kalinga University Institute of Technology for further development of GelHeal. A wound healing gel is one of the kinds of on-site protein matrix technology and is essentially a protein-based cross-linked hydrogel. As the company continues to introduce such versatile products that cater to unmet medical demands led by the strong thrust in its R&D capabilities, we believe more and more of such products will establish Suprea Lifesciences Limited as an integrated healthcare provider. The company committed to build a pipeline of new products which could extend beyond its long-standing competence in the area of antihistamine and towards anti-diabetes, diabetics, and other areas. The company intends to patent technology and undertake further new projects for CDMO business, which would translate into long-term revenue possibilities. With this, I hand over the call to our CFO, Sri Krishna Raghunathan, to share Q2 financial year 2024 financial highlights with you all. Over to you, Krishna.
Thank you, sir. Hello, everyone, and good morning. I will now share the operational performance of the quarter, and following which, we will open the floor for questions and answers. The company reported revenue from operations of INR 140 crores in Q2 FY24 as against 112 crores in Q2 FY23. EBITDA in Q2 FY24 stood at 32 crores as against INR 29 crores in Q2 FY23, and EBITDA margin stood at 22.7% for Q2 FY24 as against 25.5% in Q2 FY23. Profit before tax was at INR 30 crores for Q2 FY24 as against INR 27 crores in Q2 FY23. PAT stood at INR 24 crores in Q2 FY24 as against INR 17 crores in Q2 FY23. PAT margin stood at 17%. Moving to H1 financial year 2024 performance, revenue from operations stood at INR 272 crores as against 214 crores in H1 FY23. EBITDA in H1 FY24 stood at 76 crores as against 60 crores in H1 FY23, and EBITDA margin stood at 28% in both the quarters, in both the half-year respectively. Profit before tax was at INR 72 crores for H1 FY24 as against 58 crores in H1 FY23, registering a growth of 26%. PAT stood at INR 52 crores in H1 FY24 as against INR 42 crores in H1 FY23. PAT margin stood at 19%. We had certain one-off expenditures during the quarter. We had a GST audit which covered till FY21, and around 26 lakhs have been paid during the course of this audit. We also had to pay around 2.5 crores interest in the Supreme Court case, which we are contesting in Mumbai High Court. Repairs and maintenance were higher due to the impending FDA audit in December. Also, I would like to highlight the company has successfully reduced its inventory days to 158 days, and we have become virtually debt-free. Armed with minuscule interest payments, the company's solvency ratio would further improve and increase the profitability of the company, along with the excess cash of around 116 crores, ensuring that the organization will be able to meet all its future obligations. Now, we can open the floor for questions and answers. Thanks to all of you, and wishing you a happy and safe Diwali.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Shubham from Purnartha Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. During the quarter, change inventory has increased to 10 crores. Can you throw some light on that?
See, basically, what had happened is we had a lot of inventory. I think for the last couple of quarters, we have been saying that we have to reduce our inventory. So technically, most of our WIP and FG, we had converted, which were in what do you call inventory, and everything got converted and got sold, some of which will get sold in the Q3 also. So because of this, there is a huge reduction that could also be seen in our cash flow. This is, of course, cash flow positive, and it's a very good sign for the company.
It's some finished goods inventory you are seeing?
No, it's WIP inventory. WIP and some bit of finished good inventory got moved out.
Okay. And what tax rate we can assume for the whole year as same is fluctuating at quarter-on-quarter basis?
We don't give any quarter-wise guidance on sales. See, we will maintain an overall around 20%-25% growth, overall growth on the revenues over the last year number. I think that is anyhow that is bound to happen. Otherwise, we don't provide any sort of a guidance on what do you call quarter-wise numbers.
No, I am asking about tax rate. What we can assume tax rate for the whole year?
Tax rate. See, tax rate could be somewhere around 26%. See, this would be on the current tax only at this point in time. See, the deferred tax, there will always be some impact which can always change. So on the overall, around 26%-26.5% you can take for the tax rates.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Riddhima Goyal from Acquaint Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. My question is, despite the increase in the absolute number of our EBITDA and PAT numbers, what is the reason behind decline in our margins? Because as we are seeing in other companies as well, that there is an increase in margin. And second question is, I wanted to know your volume and price mix growth.
So thank you for the question. One of the main reasons why the margin has sort of declined is because of the geographic and the product mix. We have also said this in the past because we are an export-oriented company and we cater to more than 86 countries across the globe, including semi-regulated and regulated markets. As a part of our strategy, we have focused in the last couple of quarters to de-risk our portfolio, and some of the other products, other than our major products, we have been trying to scale up in semi-regulated markets and then of course into the regulated markets. So we have seen increased traction in some of our other products in semi-regulated markets. So that's one of the reasons why you see that there is a slight dip in margin in spite of increased sales and the absolute number increasing. But it is a good thing and a positive thing for the company because, you know, we are trying to de-risk the portfolio and dependence on some of the key products. And it is just, I feel like, you know, because of the geographic and product mix, for the overall 6 months, if you see, we maintained our margin at 28%, which is the guidance that we have given, that on an annual basis, we will maintain our 28 to 30% margin. So it is just, you know, a quarter play because of the product and region mix.
So can you please just give us the mix between your regulated and semi-regulated and also unregulated markets mix?
Basically, the exports versus domestic would be somewhere around 81 to 19. And coming to what do you call regulated, it would be one moment in H1.
I didn't get it, sir. Can you please repeat?
One moment. Yes. See, around 46% were there in regulated markets.
Okay.
And the rest would be in semi-regulated and unregulated markets. India would be somewhere around 19%.
Okay, thank you so much. And my second question was related to the volume and price growth mix. I mean, the growth which we have seen this quarter is, what is the mix between your volume growth and price growth?
See, price have been remaining stable. So whatever the growth is like what Dr. Saroni has already said, it is due to all the other molecules picking up momentum and there is nothing, not much of a movement in the prices across all the molecules per se. We haven't seen any sort of a price erosion or also the price increase also.
Most of the growth actually has come, majority of it is through the volume increase.
See, any new product when you enter, you cannot straight away go into regulatory because it takes minimum 1 year. To establish that API, you have to go with non-regulated markets. And then you can make establishment in the regulated market. That's the API story.
Okay. And this you are saying, sir, on a year-on-year basis, right?
Yes. On a year-on-year basis.
When we said that out of 100%, we have 82% export, that means that export has been continuously coming for a couple of years. So it will continue. It will not drop down.
Correct.
So the focus is on regulated markets only as far as the business is concerned. And more focus as far as business is exports only.
Okay. And sir, what is the proportion coming from China?
See, whatever is there that continues in China, I have in the past also regularly telling that you cannot focus China. The day you focus more and more in China, I'm sure you all are aware, we are reading in the newspaper, anti-dumping duties will be moved on the product and there will be no sale in the future. It's a reciprocity, you know, which we do with them, they are also trying to do. So we are trying to de-risk whatever has been committed in the Chara market. That quantity we already have sold for next 2 years. And balance, we sell in the other market. We have no interest in increasing that in China market.
Understood. Okay. Thank you so much, sir, for answering my question. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Before we move on to the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have a question from the line of Jagveer Singh from Shade Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, earlier you were guided around 30 to 32% margins. So now you are talking about 28% margins for the full year basis.
If you have attended our earnings calls for the last 4 or 5 quarters plus, you will know that, you know, we have corrected our guidance post our, impact of the China business in the last financial year. Since then, we have corrected our margin guidance to be 28 to 30%, which we have maintained. And that is the, margin that you will see also for the first 6 months.
Okay, so second quarter, we have done around 23% margin. So you are saying in the next 6 months, margin will be around 28 to 29%.
Yes.
See, it is not a quarter on quarter guidance. See, it is basically.
If you want to do 28% full year, so you have to do 28% in the next 6 months also.
Correct.
Yes. Correct. Yes. See, if you see our last quarter, we already had a 34% plus in our margins. Yeah, the average would be around 28 to 30%.
Okay, and there is also some seasonality also in the business. The second half is better than the first half, if I am correct.
Yes,
yes.
Usually second half is slightly better than the first half. So that's why we are confident that we will be able to maintain the guidance of 28 to 30%.
And 20% to 25% in the top line.
Yes,
yes.
Yes. Which you can see in the first two quarters as well, you know, in terms of the absolute revenue. We have seen a good increase. In fact, 24%, if you compare it with the last year, last quarter as well, last year 6 months and this year 6 months, we have done a 24% growth in our sales. So that trend will continue.
So my last question related to China, so is there any pickup or not in the China?
So for China, like, our CMD just said, we have already finalized our contract, which is a fixed volume contract, and we don't expect anything additional coming in from China. The volumes have stabilized. The pricing, we have said it in multiple earnings calls before as well, that it will take some time for the market to stabilize. We don't see it happening in the near future. So whatever growth and margins we are guiding, it is including the China contract that we have finalized for the entire year.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Richa from Equity Master. Please go ahead. Her line is disconnected. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Just going back to the growth guidance you mentioned, so I just want to ask you what helped in this first half, the growth we have seen, and you're confident that this will continue. So again, what will help it? Can you give a general scenario, how is the market right now, and so how will we achieve the guidance?
So we have always maintained that other than our top 3-4 products, we have a basket of about 8-9 products in the portfolio where there is a very large potential in semi-regulated and regulated markets. And a lot of the growth for the next couple of years will also come with the volume scale-up of these products, which is getting reflected in the quarter two sales this year. A lot of the other products in antihypertensive, vitamins, decongestants, these products have really scaled up well in semi-regulated markets. We are seeing a lot of volume traction, and we are just waiting to get these approvals for the regulated markets. So once they move into the regulated markets, the margins for these products will also eventually improve. So one growth we are seeing in these products. The other thing is that we are introducing a lot of new products into our portfolio. Three therapies where we are focusing is anesthetic, anti-diabetic, and also cardiovascular and anti-anxiety. So these are the four categories what we are currently focusing on. So a lot of new products are getting infused in the portfolio, which are just out of development and in validation stage. In the next 9 to 12 months, we will be in a position to start filing for these products. So once they also come into the pipeline, the product portfolio would be more de-risked. So growth will come from existing product scale-up in regulated markets and also the new products what we are infusing in the portfolio. So these are the two main areas. And of course, the CDMO opportunities that we have, you know, they will also start scaling up the whey protein, which we had announced 2 quarters back. Some volumes we will start seeing from the next quarter. Then the riboflavin, the vitamin project what we had announced with the European companies tie-up, those volumes have also started coming in. DSM is the name of the company with whom we have tied up for the vitamin product. So those volumes will also start coming in. So these three areas are where we are looking at, you know, growth mainly.
Okay, okay. And just clarifying again, you mentioned this growth, which you suggested or guided for, is including the China business or excluding? I understand.
Yes, it is including the China business because for us, like I said, more focus on other products. De-risking the portfolio, reducing our dependence on some of the key products. So this is including the China business, which we have said multiple number of times that the volume is staggered. We don't anticipate the volume to grow any longer in China market. So it would be the constant volume for at least next 2 years because we have already signed the contract at the same price. So we don't expect any changes happening in China business anymore.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. I'll get back in queue. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have a question from the line of Richa from Equity Master. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on these two announcements that you have made about wound healing gel and as well as this oral care. If you could help us understand what this means for the revenue and the margins of the company, what kind of investment you guys need to make, you know, for this opportunity to materialize in a meaningful way. And, you know, if it is a unique product, if it is patented, is it B2C, you know, just if you could add more color on these developments.
So both the products, I mean, both the announcements that we have made recently with Kalinga University is in line with our strategy to de-risk our business and focus more on CDMO activities. Both the products are extremely novel. They are, you know, one of a kind in the world. I would say the best technology in the world in terms of the product cost. The cancer, oral cancer detection kit, it is the cheapest available kit in the world which detects and is a preliminary test for oral cancer, which detects oral cancer in less than 2 to 3 minutes. There is no product of its kind globally. And even for the gel, it is an extremely innovative product which helps in wound healing and, you know, scar-free wound healing. No significant competitors globally for both the products. You know, the strategy is that we will help Kalinga University co-develop these products. So they are already developed at the lab stage, but now we have to take them through, you know, the commercialization stage. The patents for both the products are filed. In fact, for the quick oral kit, already the international patents, the PCT is also filed, and we will also now file for country-specific patents in the next couple of quarters. We anticipate that this entire project will take at least 3 years for commercialization for both the products. The market itself for both the products is extremely large. Today it is valued at around 21 billion globally, so it's a very, very large market. And with the kind of product that we are bringing into the market, we are very, very confident that we will be able to at least get 1 to 2% of this global market. The strategy, like I said, is to co-develop and then take it to commercialization with Kalinga Institute. And then while we keep the manufacturing of the product us, we would probably out-license these products to some of the larger pharma companies. So this is in terms of the strategy behind both the products.
Okay. And could you also talk about utilization and, you know, potential capex that you're likely to undertake, if any, in FY24 and 25?
Utilization around 72 to 73% during this quarter. And CapEx, of course, for the first 6 months, we had somewhere around 50 crores. I think we will spend around the same 50 crores, most probably in the second half also. And for next year, I think we need to have our plannings in place. As of now, I think we should be in the range of around 100 crores max. We'll have to see. Next year, we haven't, we are, our planning cycle is on, and the work on CapEx will be happening, and I think most probably in the next quarter, we will be in a position to announce what sort of CapEx number we can do in the next year. Current year, we will be finalizing somewhere around 100 crores, out of which 50 crores has already been spent in H1.
And just a quick addition to this, the kit, the global market size is $21 billion, but for the gel, the global market size is valued at about $26 billion. So both put together is, you know, more than $47 billion. So it's a very large market which would open up for us as a company. And plus, the products are extremely novel and innovative, so we would like to bring the products out to as many people as possible.
Okay. And I mean, do you have any sense of the investment that can go into it, you know, in co-developing, commercialization over next years?
We are working around with the innovators at this point in time. I think once we have our what you call full strategy in place, specifically on the numbers, I think we can always come back to you, and then we can let you know. As of now, we are working with the innovators as to at what stages, what are the things which we need to do. All those working are going on at this point in time as we speak.
All right. And sir, just one more question on margins. I think there was an erosion in margins because, you know, because of the regional mix. But like 2 years from 2 years ago, our regulated share market used to be much lower than what it is now, and yet there is significant decline in the margins. So if you could just talk a little bit more about that and what gives you the confidence to maintain the margins that we have, you know, what is the supply side situation, pricing scenario?
So, like I said previously, more than the region mix, it is the product mix. Because of the other products, other than the top three, four products, the next basket of products which are moving into the semi-regulated market, because, you know, we are still in the sort of market gaining stage for those products. We don't have a leadership position for those. Hence, the margin profile of those products would be definitely lower than our leading products. So more it is driven by the product mix and the de-risking of the product basket that we have. So that is why you are seeing that erosion on margin. Plus, one of the reasons also for this quarter slightly lowered margins is on the expense front. Like Krishna also explained, there have been certain one-off expenses which also have had impact on the margin. So it's a play of both the things, but mainly it is the product mix and the other products getting more traction in semi-regulated markets other than the top couple of products. So that's one of the reasons why we are confident of maintaining the margins, because once we get more market traction of these products, once we get the regulatory approvals, we would sort of replicate the success and the leadership position that we have in the top products in this product basket as well. And then, you know, the margins for these products would also improve. Also, backward integration, although for the top 10-12 products, we are fully backward integrated. For some of the new products, what, you know, we are seeing good traction, we are in the process of further backward integration. So once all these things happen together, the regulatory approvals, the backward integration, and the movement into regulated markets, margin again would sort of stabilize to that 28-30%, which is the situation even today.
So I further want to add that in this world now, there are two more countries which are becoming the regulatory one now. Earlier, you know, people were neglecting about the Latin America, that's Brazil and Mexico. Now let me tell you, in the last year, these two countries have come up with the regulatory notification that they had earlier, previous, China was the sole supplier for a couple of years, like more than 35-40 years. But now these people have said that they required the GMP standards where Chinese are failing, and Indian companies have a good opportunity, like Supriya, already from last year started in the regulatory, in the Brazil regulatory body, to file the products out of 17. I'm very happy to say successfully within last 9 months, we have filed 12 products with the regulatory authority in Brazil. Now, once you file and you become a sole source of that product, you must understand this is the second source, but this is the first source for Brazil, and that will continue. It will not replace by any others. So you will get more profitability, more, chance in Brazil and Mexico markets, which are now becoming as regulatory markets.
Okay. And sir, this 100 crore kind of investment every year that you're making, like by 24 and 25, is this mainly going into backward integration or, I mean, where are you investing exactly?
So basically, this is mainly going into capacity enhancement for volume growth of existing product basket, as well as the new products what we are infusing into the portfolio. We will also need capacity to grow those products. So this is mainly for capacity enhancement to cater to the growing product demand.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We'll take our next question from the line of Naresh from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. So my first question, if you can quantify the one-time expenses which you have made during the quarter, and also the employee expenses, Q-on-Q has increased quite a bit. So what would be the reason for that?
Let me take the employee first. So basically, if you look at it, between last year and current year, we had our annual increment cycle, and that will increase the expenditure correspondingly in the current year. And of course, there were a couple of hires also, I think, on which we had given the press releases. These are the reasons why the employee benefit expenses are comparatively higher. So with respect to one-off, technically we had a GST audit and a pre-import case. I think that is something which I had already covered in my speech. And of course, we are also expecting an FDA audit in December, for which we have to have our repairs and maintenance and upkeep of the plant. So these are the three expenditures which are one-time in nature. And this were around somewhere around 3 to 4 crores, which we had to spend in as a one-time expenditure. So these would be the one-time, and of course, the employee I had already talked about.
Right. And second question in terms of diversifying the product portfolio. So while you have been speaking about the 6 to 8, you know, new products which you expect to start selling in the regulated markets, but if you can explain in bit more granularity that at which stage these products are. Do we already have CEPs and DMFs in place, and have we started sending the validation batches to the customer, and how much time realistically it would take for these products to ramp up in these regulated markets, so that, you know, the volatility which we see currently, that sort of normalizes.
So in terms of the 6 to 8 products, we already are selling these products for many years in semi-regulated markets. For some of these, we have already received CEPs and the USDMFs, and we have already started supplying some small quantities for trials and validations. For some of them, the CEPs are still awaited. In another 6 to 9 months, we will get the CEPs. I would say the full effect of these products in regulated markets, you will be able to see at least in the next 3 quarters. That is when we anticipate that, you know, the trials and the customer validations would have been completed and they would start buying the commercial quantities. So that would approximately be the timeline for the commercialization of these.
So is it fair to say that the new blocks which are coming in the next quarter, so largely on an incremental basis, this would be utilized for selling these products in those regulated markets, so that, you know, we have some understanding as to, you know, what time it would take to reduce the concentration of the product portfolio.
Yes. So the new block which we have put in, I mean, which we are putting in the module E, that would be driven for two things. One is, of course, the existing product scale up. And the other is the new products that we have infused in the portfolio. Like I said, you know, we have focused on anesthetic, anti-anxiety, anti-diabetic products. These products we have now completed the development, and now we are, you know, in the phase of validation. So in another 6 to 9 months, we should be in a position to, you know, start selling some smaller quantities, at least for market seeding and for customer trials and samples. So the new module is for the existing product scale-up as well as some of the new products what we have infused in the basket.
Let me add one more thing, because I have already said in my speech, but I think people have not understood that. The new regulated market is coming up, which is large, is Brazil. People are ignoring that. Brazil was catered for last 40 years by China, but all Chinese manufacturers were supplying without GMP standard, GMP documentation. And for the first time, the government of Brazil has come in 2022 in force that any supplier who would like to change the vendor, they should come with the GMP certification from that company. So 99%, and we are seeing that Chinese are failing to give the documents on GMP. So looking the new notification of Brazil and Mexico, Supriya immediately started, you know, entering into and giving the documentation to the regulatory authorities. And out of the current 16, 17 APIs, 12 have been registered with the regulatory authority of Brazil. Now you will understand, when you register means what? You become the second vendor, but the first vendor for that particular end user. And once that end user finalizes your name, lifetime it will not be changed, because second vendor will not come in the picture. So this was the opportunity given by these authorities to their final formulation units, that you should qualify the second source now, and that second source will continue as the first source. So you have a large basket which is available in Brazil and Mexico, which is a large market today for APIs are concerned.
Right, sir. Right. Okay, that's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Anmol Das from Arihant Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, sir, and very good set of numbers. So I wanted to ask regarding a couple of things in future pipeline, that you have two agreements with the oral cancer detection and a wound healing gel. And there was a collaboration with the plasma nutrition. So I want to understand how these collaborations are going to materialize in the future, and in terms of revenue, what amount kind of a revenue you are looking for these collaborations, and what will be the opportunities in similar kind of a business and collaborations that you see in the future?
So, in terms of the three collaborations that we have announced, the plasma nutrition, the protein project, that would be slightly faster as compared to the other two. For the plasma nutrition, we have already started manufacturing some small trial quantities of samples, and we have started giving them to all the larger protein distributors. So we anticipate that in another 6 months, 6 to 9 months, we should start seeing good commercial volume coming from this particular project. So that would move much faster. For these two, the oral kit as well as the gel, like we said, the market potential is extremely large. It's $47 billion globally, and the products truly are extremely innovative, and for the value at which, you know, they will be available in the market, there is no competitor which can match those globally. So it would actually be a revolutionary change in oral cancer detection as well as, you know, wound healing. So we are very confident. These two projects would take 3 years to commercialization, but we are very confident that, you know, when they come out in the market, they will gain significant market traction. We are working on multiple such opportunities. They're in the pipeline, currently at a very premature stage, but we are very confident that, you know, such innovative opportunities we will be able to convert in the next 2 to 3 years into commercial business. Also, the other CDMO opportunity, which we had announced a couple of quarters back, which was with the European company DSM Firmenich. They are one of the largest companies globally. we had signed an exclusive vitamin supply agreement with them. Those commercial volumes also will start coming in from the next quarter itself. The CDMO in general, you know, in the next, I would say, 9 to 12 months will start contributing commercially to our revenue.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And one thing regarding the geographic mix that has shifted and then went for from Europe to Asia, it shifted in Q1 FY24. Now that again the Europe mix is gaining approximately 45% share. So what is that makes this change in these two geographies between Q1 and Q2?
So one of the main reasons is, I would say more than the geography this time for the margins, the product mix, like I highlighted, was one of the main reasons for the margin dip. Other than the top 3-4 products, there are other products decongestant products like diphenhydramine, vitamin products like riboflavin, 5-phosphate sodium, bisoprolol fumarate, which is an antihypertensive product. Some of these products we have seen good traction in European markets and the other markets. So one of the these are, the products where we don't have currently a leadership position. We are still trying to gain more customers, gain more market share. So once, we have a significant market share, we do the backward integration, all the regulatory approvals come through, then we will start seeing similar margins what we have for our leading products. So that is one of the main reasons. As such, there will always be quarter on quarter because it's a multi-product, we have more than 30 products in our portfolio. So there will always be a shift in the product and the geographic mix. But our main focus, like our CMD said, remains on regulated market. So year on year, we will try to increase our regulated market share. So that is one of the prime focus area. And if you see, even for this quarter, the export percentage has gone up. We are at 81% export as compared to the previous quarters. So the more focus will always be on more regulated markets.
Okay. Okay, understood, ma'am. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have a question from the line of A.M. Loda from Sanmati Consultant. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, ma'am?
Yes.
Yes.
Ma'am, I have got three questions. One relating to our plants. Number one, Lote plant. The expansion in the Lote, when it will be in operations, madam?
So the module E, it will get commissioned by March or April next year.
That 400 kiloliters.
Pardon?
Yes. 400 kiloliters.
Yes.
You are right.
So yes, it will add around 400 KL per day to our capacity. So the total capacity of the Lote site would be somewhere at around 900 KL.
It will be operational in the commercial operations in the month of March FY24.
It might not be commercial operations. Validations will start and then we will have our commercial operations following up immediately.
Okay, so what about Sir Ambernath? When it will commence the 72 kiloliters?
So the Ambernath site will also be commissioned around March and April. So maybe from May onwards, we can start some commercial production from that side.
So you will have
let me add
to this. Hello. I want to add to this also.
Yes.
Sir,
yes,
anything
yes.
When you think in your mind, you must understand that it requires huge requirements of rules and regulations and the formalities, all the licenses in place. Without that, you cannot manufacture anything. These are always taking time. Once you get, then only we start, because the company has principles and ethics. Unless and until they get the regulatory and all the permissions, they won't enter into any product. That's the policy, and that is why we always try to get everything in the hand, then we start.
Okay, sir. My second question is, sir, relating to export. What is the percentage of export in the present quarter turnover, sir?
81%, sir.
81, sir?
Yes,
81%. Okay, sir. My last, third and last question relating to what is the growth the company expects in FY25 and FY26? Growth in the sales tentatively.
Okay. So we have always maintained our guidance that year on year we will grow anywhere between 20 to 24%. So that is the same kind of guidance we would like to give. The revenue growth would be anywhere between 20 to 24%.
Thank you very much, sir. We wish you all the best and happy Diwali. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Happy Diwali. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Wagh for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
See, we would like to thank each and everyone who had attended our call. We would like to wish each and everyone a happy and a prosperous Deepavali. And thanks and all the best.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Supriya Life Sciences Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.